again, and welcome to Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy. I'm your host, certified sex therapist Lori Watson, author of Wanting Sex Again, and blogger at Psychology Today and WebMD. And I have with me Dr. Adam Matthews, my co-host, who's a couples therapist, psychotherapist, and president of NCAMFT. Foreplay is dedicated to helping couples keep it hot. Each episode, we cover an aspect of sex that impacts your sex life and something that you can relate to. So if you find our discussions helpful, please give us a review on iTunes or Stitcher. We would love it if you would tell a friend about us. You can find us also on the web at foreplayrst.com. And if you have a comment or a topic that you'd like us to talk about, we'd love to hear from you. Please send them to us at info@foreplayrst.com. Thanks for listening. Now on to today's topic. Hey, Adam. So let's talk about time management this episode.
Yeah, Lori, good to be back at it. Time management and sex. What do you mean? That makes that sound very
rigid
and scheduled. Yeah.
No, I think I mean how do we manage our time in general so that we have enough time for each other? That seems to be the problem.
That seems to be a big challenge for couples too. Yeah. It seems inherent. Couples know that they need more time together. I've never met anybody that says they're surprised that they need more time together, right?
Right.
But how do you see it getting in the way of sex?
I mean, I think that for some people, they think it shouldn't get in the way of sex, right? I mean, what's it, you know, okay, we had a busy day, but we can roll over in bed and have sex, and that'd be awesome. And I think other people need to get into the mood. They need to have some energy left. And that's men and women. I mean, I'm thinking of both. I'm thinking of a guy right now who, you know, for him, it's just like end of the day. And he's got normal testosterone, but end of the day, he just doesn't want to have sex because he's pooped, you know, too tired. You know, they've got middle-aged kids and they're running around. And it's just kind of the end of the day. And his wife is somebody who could just roll over and have sex. And so it's not always female, although oftentimes female who needs a little more time.
Yeah, and couples don't build in time for each other naturally, do they?
I don't think so. I think we think sex is supposed to happen naturally like it did when we were dating. But, you know, when we're dating, we build in all kinds of time together.
Yeah. We make plans together really.
Top priority.
Yeah. And so that it always comes more naturally. But I think over time of a relationship, right, as a relationship matures, time is diminishing. Right? It does. Yeah. You don't get more of it as your relationship goes on. You actually get less of it.
Yeah, because we throw ourselves into production. Mm-hmm. You know, in the beginning, we're just all about each other, and then we got to raise a family, we got to earn a living, we got to build our kingdom, and
life happens.
Life happens. Yeah, and so, I mean, I just think somebody said, one of the guys who helps me with finances says to me all the time, Lori, you should, you know, like track your time. You should write down what you're doing. And I'm like, I do not have time to track my time.
That's just something else that takes
more
time.
Are you kidding?
Tracking time to take, that just sounds exhausting.
I mean, I'm seeing patients. I'm like running a practice, doing podcasting. Yeah. I'm writing. I'm like developing. I'm in a PhD program. You know, just a little something.
Yeah.
A few things.
And everybody does that, though, right? Whatever amount of time you have, it gets filled up. And I don't think that couples really have a realistic idea of how much time they're spending together. I had a couple that they said, oh, yeah, we're spending time together. I said, okay, well, when was your last date night? And they said, oh, we've had a couple here recently. And I said, well, how's recently? And they looked at each other. I said, no, in the last 4 to 6 weeks, how many date nights have you had?
Yeah.
And it was like one, maybe, right? And that was there was a question mark around that. And once they started to track it and understand it, they realized that this is a huge problem, and it's a much bigger problem than they were even accounting for.
Yeah, and I think, you know, people count time together in different ways. I mean, sometimes people think sitting on the couch watching television is time together. You know, my son is big on that. He's like, his friends that are women say, you know, oh, you know, let's hang out and watch a movie. And he's like, that's not really spending time together.
No, it's passive. It's really passive.
It's passive, yeah. Exactly.
Why do you think, though, because it does seem like when time is pressed and we don't have a lot of it, that sex is one of the first things that we let go of in relationship. Why is that? Why is that one of the first things that we let go?
Well, I don't think it's the first thing that everybody lets go of, right?
Sure.
I mean, I think it's an expectation oftentimes men who have their bodies filled with testosterone, they can just be on fire at the drop of a hat. So they don't necessarily need to let go of it. It's typically women, but not always, like I just said, who need kind of time together in order to feel sexual, mm-hmm. that then they let go of it because we don't have any time together.
Yeah.
So I don't feel sexual.
Yeah. It gets deprioritized.
It gets deprioritized.
Like you said, in dating, it becomes a priority. In the first parts of the relationship, you don't have to think about it being a priority just because it happens so naturally. But as the relationship matures, we're not thinking of it intentionally in that way, right?
Yeah, I think about the way there are so many things that absorb our time these days. Mm-hmm. Like social media, to me, I mean, it absorbs.
Yes.
That my guy can probably ding me on, right? Because, you know, sometimes I'll be sitting there thinking I need to write a paper and I'm circling through what's on my email, what's on Facebook, what's on Twitter. And I'm just click, click, click. Yeah. I write one sentence, click, 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 you know, and I check all the things. Has anything new come in, you know, that could distract me and I could attend to instead of doing my work?
Yeah, I think my wife and I never realize it's happening until we both go, we've just spent the last 20 minutes, both of us just staring at our phone in the same space and not said a word to each other.
Yeah. Right? And just, time together is not being out to dinner looking at your phones.
Yeah, that's right.
That is definitely not time together. In fact, I recommend people leave their phones in the car.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, tell the babysitter, if you got a babysitter, which restaurant you're going to, and leave the phone in the car.
Yeah. At home, I really think a technology vault, like for at least part of the evening, would be really helpful. Some place you just throw your devices in just for a little bit of space so they're not even with you.
I know. And you know, what I'm hearing of more and more, and this is really scary to me, is that men often are more into gaming. And so they, like one woman told me, you know, I make a nice dinner, my husband comes home, wolfs it down, gets off to fantasy football, spends the rest of the night, you know, with his buddies, crawls in bed at 11:30, wants to have sex. It's like, you know, literally he has spent maybe 4+ hours online gaming or whatever. And then, I mean, for him, you know, he has testosterone, so he wants to have sex, but it's like zero time together. Well, and this is like, she said, every night, and on the weekends, you know, he's recovering from sleep because he hasn't gotten enough sleep, and then he's gaming some more. And I know out there, you gamers, you're going to be all over this and mad at me, but, you know, it's absorbing.
It's any hobby that's that absorbing is going to be a difficulty, right? I mean, I've had, and by the way, I've had lots of females that have been gamers too, lots of men that are complaining about that as well. But I think that there's anything, had one guy whose car, like hours and hours hours on the weekend, shining it, working on it.
Hobbies.
Like any hobby like that is that absorbing is taking time away from your relationship.
Yeah, I knew a guy who worked on cars. He was a mechanic, and so he was always working on their cars or some friend's car, you know, to earn a little extra money when he came home. But that was, again, wolfing down dinner, going out to work, and work. I mean, work is a way that all of us, I think, you know, who works 40 hours a week these days?
Yeah.
Everybody's
working more. Yeah.
I mean, does anybody really work just 40 hours? No way.
Well, and with all the technology, we're taking the work home, right? So it's never ending.
Yeah.
And the work is always coming in. There's always more to do. We're never really done with work.
Yeah. So it's our email is pinging us or somebody's texting us. It's preoccupying too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think then too, like couples that have children, children can become a distraction as well. I mean, obviously, and take a lot of time, obviously. I mean, they're little humans. Yeah. They have needs. You can't just, I know, right? You can't just send them outside for, you know.
Mommy and daddy play.
That's right. I guess you could if they're old enough, but.
I think our parents did, actually.
Yeah, probably
so. I was gone from dawn till dusk when I was a kid.
Yeah.
In the summer. My parents didn't know where I was.
Yeah, we had woods in the back of our house, so we were exploring the woods all the time.
Yeah, different era, though. I mean, I know.
But in the beginning, though, I mean, when kids are small, they can't do that, right?
Right.
They have had lots of couples who are so absorbed in their kids' extracurricular activities, they're gone almost every night, almost every weekend is something to do with a kid activity.
I'm sports, nodding. You can't see me, but I'm nodding.
Yeah, and I mean, those things, I mean, we have two kids, and they're only involved in one activity each, and that's 3 or 4 nights a week.
Yeah.
That we're on doing something. I can't imagine when they start to get older.
Or three kids.
Yeah, and then the third one gets involved in stuff, and like that amount of time, it takes away from the relationship, mm-hmm. right?
We had three kids, and when our kids were small, high school and middle school, or before they were driving, basically, we had 13 after-school activities on an average week. So that meant
goodness, that's a lot.
Choir, soccer, and piano lessons, I think was it.
And the driving to and from.
And the driving to and from. And that was not if there was a tournament or they had to go get cleats or, my husband was a board member. That wasn't a board night. I mean, that was just basic.
Yeah, it's a lot of time.
And the two of us, we were just running hither and yon all the time. And it's amazing we imagined, could have sex at all during those years.
Well, and I wonder about the message that we are sending to our spouse or our partner when we are so involved in these other things. It feels to me like we are sending a message that says these things are more important than you,
mm-hmm.
right? That it's that when I'm not willing to cut back on my hobbies, when I'm not willing to stop work, when I'm not willing to send the kids to bed early, that I'm sending a message that's saying all of these things are more important
mm-hmm. but
than
you
are.
I think, Adam, it is kind of the way of the world these days. When I was a kid, my dad got home at 5.
Mm-hmm.
We picked him up because we had one car. We picked him up at 5 o'clock. He walked out of work. There were no cell phones. There was no email. He was not working. I mean, I think my brothers did like a little league, baseball kind of gig. And it was for one season. And they were both on the same team. And that was it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a different world that we're raising children in.
And
we have expectations about that. I mean, it truly is change in terms of the pressure.
Yeah. Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't think we intentionally prioritize other things over our relationship.
Yeah. Well, right? let's get back to this with some ideas of how people can restructure things so that they can have time for sex and sex becomes a priority again. You're listening to 4Play Radio Sex Therapy with your sex therapist, Lori Watson, and Dr. Adam Matthews, our couples therapist. We'll be right back.
Wanting sex again. How to rediscover desire and heal a sexless marriage by certified sex therapist, Lori Watson.
Each chapter is designed to fix one of the problems that cause low libido, from early marriage through the childbearing years, even all the way through menopause. I've also had men read it and tell me that for them it was the most hopeful thing they read about resolving sexual problems.
Look for Wanting Sex Again on Amazon.com. You can also talk to Lori Watson for therapy in person or via Skype.
I offer couples counseling and sex therapy, and I think about both aspects of the relationship, emotional intimacy and sexual technique, and that combination together helps marriages be happy.
Weekend couples intensives are also offered. Improve your sex and improve your relationship with Awakening Center for Couples and Intimacy. Find out more at awakenloveandsex.com. Awaken what's possible.
It is one of my great joys in life to be able to really help individuals and couples find strength in their relationships and really find hope again.
Licensed marriage and family therapist, Dr. Adam Matthews from Matthews Counseling.
I work with a wide variety of issues, including depression and anxiety, marital issues, issues with adolescence. I believe that therapy should be designed around you, that it should be personalized to who you are and to your unique situation.
Therapy is available in office, online, and by phone.
I want therapy to be comfortable for everyone. At our office, you'll find that we sit around a fireplace in deep, comfortable chairs, look at the problem differently, and offer practical solutions for you to take home and utilize outside of the therapy room.
Schedule today and rediscover hope.
You can find me on the web at matthewscounseling.net, Matthews with 1 T. You can contact us through email or phone and find a lot of resources on our website, matthewscounseling.net. All right, Lori, we're back. And I want to pick up with a conversation we were ending with right before we went to break, because I'm interested on your thoughts about this. I think that the message that we keep sending, I know you were talking about the pressure that's here culturally today that was not present when you were growing up. But I also think the divorce rate is higher, separation rate is higher.
Yeah.
People are less willing to get into relationships because of those pressures.
Right.
And this is the question that I ask couples a lot and that I ask myself too. Is the thing that is taking all of our time worth my relationship? In other words, if I get 5 years down the road and my work has blown up and is huge, if my kids are involved in all the awesome things that they're involved in, if I'm further into my hobby and have collected more of the things that I've collected or whatever, or played all the games, right, and I don't have my relationship and my, you know, and it's deteriorated or it's we're separated or it's even at a point where we are not enjoying each other anymore, will that thing have been worth it? Will it have been worth my time?
Yes. Right? Yes.
And that's the question that I think is, like, even though there is this pressure, isn't that the question that we have to ask ourselves in order to be able to be spending the time on the things that are going to be there for us down the road, that we're going to want down the road?
And I think that by the very act of spending time on those other things, that becomes more absorbing than our relationship.
Yes.
You know, like, I have a kid who's in college, and if I call him up every other week, because he doesn't call me that much, I love you, but if I call him every other week and insist on a conversation, it's a boring conversation.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, how's school? How are your grades? How are the girls? What are you doing? You know, it's really like almost stock answers to those. Whereas if we talk three times a week, it's more intimate. It's more interesting. You know, there's more detail because we have a little bit of time. And I know that, you know, what he did on the science test, or I know, you know, what's coming next at the dance club, or, you know, whatever it is. It's like I know more and I can ask more interesting questions and it's more absorbing. And I think the same thing is, it's not just structuring time. It's that if we don't structure time, we lose touch just because it's not as interesting. It's not as compelling.
You're talking about the myth of quality time. You're talking about quantity time over quality time is one of the things it sounds like, right? I think a lot of people believe that we can automatically have quality time. And I would say that I think quality time emerges from quantity time.
I agree.
And
quality sex emerges from quantity sex.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, you got to be having sex in order to hit the peaks.
That's right. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. I think that's interesting. And you're saying, and tell me more about structure. Like, how do we structure our time, in your opinion?
I guess to me, it's got to be carving out. You know, like, first you set the priority for the first things. I say this often, but it's like saving money. You got to save money first, because if you try to save what's left over at the end of the month, you know, you'll never have any money to save.
Yeah.
So same sort of thing with time. It's like, okay, what do we really want? Like, ideal world, what makes our relationship interesting? Where do we have enough connection so that out of that we have enough time for sex? You know, like an intimate night, maybe it isn't, okay, we're going to have sex on Thursday night, but you know what? Thursday night, from the kids going to bed until 11, is our night.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to talk. We're going to have a glass of wine. We're going to, you know, go sit out on the porch and listen to music and, you know, just be alone together. And, I mean, even if you sit there for a while with nothing to say, or you get through all the mundane details, eventually what happens and what emerges, I think, is a more interactive, connective kind of talking.
Yeah.
And usually from that, you know, a great sex experience, or at least some sex.
Yeah. You know? Some sex is better than no sex, right? Most of the time, I guess.
Any sex is better than no sex.
Yeah. I think one of the things that I have couples do, and I think, is just look at a blank calendar, and before they schedule anything else, schedule their time together, and also schedule the time when they're going to have sex.
I like that.
Right? Because I think what you're talking about is they're just starting with the important stuff first. They're leading. I say they're leading with it's big rocks first.
You know, like, explain that.
Well, if you've ever seen in school, had somebody come in and do an illustration and an example of mass and volume, right, where they take like the clear container and they lay out some big rocks, some medium rocks, some pebbles and some sand, and they talk about how do you make it all fit into the jar.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do is then they obviously, if you start with the sand and then the pebbles, then the medium rocks, and then try to get the big rocks in, they're not all going to fit.
Right.
But if you start with the big rocks first and put the big rocks in first, then the medium rocks, then the pebbles, then the sand, everything mm-hmm. fits because everything trickles down and fits around that.
Right. So the big rocks are each other.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's your relationship.
I think people with children have such a hard time with that, though. Mm. They think the big rocks are the kids.
Yeah.
They really do.
Yeah. Well, I think people think other things are important too. As
or
important.
Money.
Money.
You know, financial
work,
security.
Yeah.
That's the big rock.
Or they're not willing to give up some of that. And I think when you're going to, if you put those big rocks first, if you start scheduling it in, then it has to be defended,
mm-hmm.
right? That
mm-hmm.
time, something has to be sacrificed for that to happen. Not
right.
everything, but something's going to have to
right.
have to give.
I mean, my husband and I, we went away together on Tuesday night for like 16 years solid. I mean, I think we didn't go away. I mean, just go out maybe 6 times during yeah. those 16 years. And I went when I was sick, and I went when the kids were sick, and I left the kids with babysitters when they were sick. I mean, it was a deep commitment to me.
Yeah.
You know, because otherwise we didn't have that.
And you fought for it.
I fought for it. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, it was essential.
And how long have y'all been married?
Oh my gosh, do I need to confess that?
Oh, is that a confession?
30 years. 31 years. I'm sorry, honey.
Did I accidentally ask your age?
Yeah. I didn't 31 years. I was married when I was, 10.
But a marriage that long has to be fought for, right?
Yeah,
it does. It has to be fought for and defended, right?
Right.
And you probably had to cut out some extra things on top of that as well.
Yeah,
right?
I really did. I mean, certainly money, because it took babysitting to go out and do that all the time. I mean, when my kids were little, I was paying big bucks every Tuesday night for babysitting.
Mm.
And time, I mean, I just didn't have the time to do other things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's like you said, that's a challenge for people to hear that. But if our relationship is a priority, we spend time and money on the things that we value, right?
Yeah.
If you want to know what you value, look at where you spend your time, look at where you spend your money. And if it's not on your relationship, then that's a problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a challenge.
Mm-hmm. I think so. And sex is going to suffer.
Mm.
I mean, sex for most people is about connectivity, for men as well and for women. You know, it's like if you don't have the connection, and you can't get that without managing your priorities and managing your time. I think other enemies to this that we didn't talk about are like volunteerism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so much need in the world. People give themselves to their churches, to their schools, and then they don't have anything left over. And perfectionism mm-hmm. is one I really see.
Yeah.
You know, the house has to be just so, and I can't relax. I can't let down. I can't take that mm-hmm. time unless it's perfect. That's not my issue.
Yeah.
My house is not perfect.
You have to let some of that perfectionism go, right? The dishes may have to pile up for a little bit. The house may not be as squeaky clean as you'd like it, but it's you may not have gotten to that very last email.
Right.
But you have each other.
Right. So, sure. I mean, in some ways, you have to eliminate some of the extras. I had a girlfriend who said, one activity per child. That's it.
Yeah.
And that's really different than what most people are trying to accomplish. They're enriching their children no end. And it's like one activity.
Mm-hmm.
Because she said family dinners are important.
Mm-hmm.
Time to relax is important. Downtime for my kids is important.
Yep.
And downtime for me.
Yep.
I don't want to spend every single afternoon racing around
field.
With the children.
No. That's right.
Yeah, you're just too exhausted by the end of the day. Oh, I know it's really full of hard choices, but, people basically a generation ago grew up okay with only doing one activity.
Yeah.
We became well-rounded people. We had imaginations and creativity.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean that you're eliminating everything from your life either. But if you're putting your relationship first, other stuff will fit, more will fit. But otherwise, like to me, when I see couples that are running around chasing after their kids, or their work life is stressed, or these other things that are happening, they're not putting each other first.
Mm-hmm.
They are much more stressed. Everything is full of more tension. Everything is full of more issues. And plus, they're not having sex, right? And so,
how do you give? How do you sort of give love to your children, or give love to your community, or have the energy and the will to go to work if there's no kind of flow from something that's exciting on the inside.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think you can you? I mean, I think it's much harder.
Yeah. I always say, you know, to nursing moms, it's like the empty breast doesn't give milk. It's like you have to nourish yourself. Mm-hmm. You have to fuel yourself, give yourself liquids, you know, drink and eat. Mm-hmm. And out of that comes good milk. And so same sort of thing, out of the nourishment of the coupleship comes good sex and a loving relationship that flows over. Mm. I mean...
Yeah. It's hard when you're giving yourself to something else, you're not giving yourself to the relationship.
Yeah.
So, Lori, let's sum up our tips real quick for how to get this. Number one is what?
Big rocks on the calendar.
Yeah.
Put the coupleship first, right?
Yes.
Schedule it out before you schedule anything else.
Number two.
Let go of perfectionism. You know, it's like nothing has to be perfect for you to be able to relax. That has to be a priority.
Yeah. Last tip? Number three.
I would say... My last tip is a challenge to everybody listening. I challenge you to take one night a week just for the coupleship, right?
Just as
a couple. Go out. I really strongly recommend go out because getting away from your home and all the burdens of your home, you got to get out of the house.
Absolutely.
You know, even if it means going to sit in a bookstore or a library together or the park or whatever, but get out.
Yeah.
And spend 3 hours at least alone together.
Yeah.
Once a week.
Yes, absolutely to that. Prioritize your relationship. I just can't emphasize enough how much I think we both would agree that the issues that we see in relationship would have been solved a long time ago in the couple's history if they have just done these things and taken time and made each other a priority.
Yeah, cheaper than therapy for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Thanks for listening. This is 4Play Radio Sex Therapy with your sex therapist, Lori Watson, and our couples therapist, Dr. Adam Matthews. Hey, help us stay on top here at 4Play. We'd love it if you would subscribe and share it with your friends. And please take 1 sec and rate and review us. Thanks so much.